good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Don't you love Pastor Stovall? He's doing great. I talked to him yesterday, so keep him in your prayers. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, how to lose control. How to lose control. Why don't we pray, and we'll get into today's message. Father, we thank you for being so good to us, Lord, and all your blessings on our life. And God, right now, we just open up our hearts to you. God, we didn't come here to just go through the motions, God. We came to hear from you. We came to leave this place changed and closer to you. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 32, and we'll get started here today. Can you help me out with that clock here so I don't go over our time and preach into the second service time here, the next hour? When I was young, I used to always lose control of stuff. Anybody else? I remember when I was 8 years old, I went downstairs, went to a Christmas, opened some Christmas presents. I opened up and there was a helmet, a white helmet. I opened that thing up and I was like, oh my goodness. My dad was like, come on, get in the truck. We have something for you. So we get in the truck, go to some land, and there was a brand new red motorcycle. I get on that thing, 8 years old, okay? It was size 80. It was pretty big when I get on that thing. And I'd never ridden one before. I give it all the gas, pop the clutch. You guys know what I'm going. I started flying down this hill. My mom is screaming, oh, no. There's a lake at the bottom of the hill. I get right to the edge of the lake and dive off of it. How many of you know it would have been a Christmas to remember if I would have ran that thing into the lake? I remember that was when I was 8. When I was 14, somebody was fixing to pick me up from school, and I said, I'm going to get on my bike. I'm going to ride down my driveway. So I just get on there, start going down the driveway, but it was rocks, it was wet, so I just slipped, and I just kind of went face first down the driveway right before school starts. I go in the house, I got blood all over my chin, I had to get stitches all in here. I walked in, there's blood all over the place. Who has teenagers? Anybody? We need to say a prayer for you this morning. The worst one, I have many more stories. They're too embarrassing to tell, but I'll tell you one more. I remember when I was about 17, I'm on my way to school, and I had a fast car back when I was in high school, and somebody was moving, going real slow. I said, you're going way too slow for me. So I, go around them, and I punch the gas, and I'm starting to pass them. And I'm telling you, I'm not joking, my accelerator got stuck, okay? So I go back, I pass them, and there's a car in front of them, so I smashed into the back of the car in front of them, and then I didn't know what else to do, so I just ran the car off into a ditch, okay? So I get home, and, they say, what happened? I said, the accelerator got stuck. They're like, yeah, right. No, I said, I'm serious, the accelerator got stuck. And my dad's like, well, what happened? I said, you don't even care if I'm hurt or not. He says, I can tell by looking at you, you're not hurt. I want to know what happened. I said, the accelerator got stuck. He went, oh, yeah, yeah, right. Let me tell you something. To this day, no one believes me that accelerator was stuck, and only Jesus knows the truth. When I get to heaven, I'll be vindicated that my accelerator was stuck that day. Some of you are thinking, I'm not riding with you, Chris. That's probably a good idea. It's probably a good idea. But I want to talk to you this morning about how to lose control, not of your car, but of your life, surrendering control of your life to God. God, he's called us to take responsibility for our lives. He certainly doesn't want us to be lazy. He's called us to take responsibility, but he wants us to surrender control to him. And I've found that God has ways of showing us that he's in control and not us. Anybody else? He has ways of showing us that. And when everything is going great and life's meeting all of our expectations, we only think we're in control. Everything is easy and we think, I got this. We're under the delusion that we are in control. Amen? And this is difficult for me because I like thinking I'm in control. It makes me feel good to think I'm in control. And I have found that this is one of the hardest principles for me to learn as a believer, surrendering control to God. And you know, in life, we all face crisis. We all face battles. But I have found out that your biggest battle is not your health. Your biggest battle is not your finances. Your biggest battle is not your relationships. Your biggest battle is not your career or overcoming your past. Your biggest battle is wrestling with God for control of your life. Amen. Because if you give Him control, everything else will take care of itself. Do I have any wrestling fans in the house? Raise your hand. Just a few. A few wrestling fans would admit it. You know it's fake. You know it's fake, don't you? Okay. You still like it. You don't care. How about MMA fans, Ultimate Fighting? Look out, there's a lot of people like Ultimate Fighting. Those guys are tough, aren't they? I want to share an unusual wrestling match in the Bible. If you have your Bibles and you're in Genesis chapter 32, we're going to read chapter 32 and verse 24 and look at an unusual wrestling match here. In the South, they say wrestling. Wrestling match. Verse 24, it's a story of Jacob wrestling with God. Then Jacob was left alone. If you have your Bibles, you could circle the word alone. Because there's many times in our life where God, He has to only, there's some things we're in community with, there's some ways, lessons we learn in relationship with others, but you know there's some things that's between you and God. And sometimes only God can deal with you when you're alone with Him. It says, He was alone, and a man wrestled with Him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed." He wrestled with this angel. He struggled with this angel. And then verse 29, it says, "Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask me about my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Verse 31 says, "Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip." We see Jacob, he's wrestling with God. This strange match that we see in the Bible. And so there's many lessons that we can learn from this story, from this passage. But I believe the main story for me is that it represents somebody wrestling with God, somebody struggling with God for control or for surrender. And in verse 30, it says, Jacob said, "I will call this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face." And it says he limped away. And I don't know about you, but there's some times when you're in this place with God and you're wrestling with Him, you're struggling with Him for control. And this is how it looks. You come to God and you say, "God, I don't understand why you let this happen. I don't understand your timing," and you're wrestling and you're trying to understand and you're trying to control it and you're trying to give it to God and you're trying to take it back and you're struggling, you're wrestling with God. I think there was many people in the Bible who went through this. I was thinking of Abraham. You know, Abraham, he's given a promise, descendants and land, and so he finally gets the son of promise, Isaac, and then the Lord does what? He tells him to sacrifice him, to offer him as a sacrifice. And it was a three-day journey to Mount Moriah. I think he was struggling. I think he was wrestling with God and trying to say, "Are you in control? Am I in control? Should I obey this?" I think he was struggling with God, and it was a test, and God provided a ram. I was thinking of Moses. Moses on the backside of a desert for 40 years. You know, the scripture says he was content in this place. But I believe before he reached this place of contentment, he was wrestling with God. He was struggling. "Why am I in this desert for 40 years? I messed up bad, I know, God, but I shouldn't be out here. Am I going to be out here all of my life? I don't understand your timing." And then God spoke to him in a burning bush. Think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The scripture says he was praying. His sweat became like great drops of blood. He was wrestling with God. And then he finally comes to this place. And he says, "Not my will, but thy will be done. I want to show you something in this story. Think about this. Jacob, he wrestled with God all night, the Bible says. And you know God could have forced him to tap out anytime. You know, if you wrestle with an angel, you're going to lose. God could have ended this match anytime he wanted to. Maybe God was waiting on him to surrender. And you know, God, he can rescue us from a crisis anytime he wants. But he lets the situation go because he's waiting for us to tap out. He wants ultimate surrender. He wants us to fully surrender it to him. And I have found that God will use a crisis to get our attention and to show us that we're not in control. He doesn't cause these things to happen, but he will use a crisis to test us. He'll use a crisis to change us. Unemployment, an argument with someone we love, sickness. You know, when you face these things, you're calling on God like never before. When things are going well, maybe you're drifting. But when you suffer a job loss, you're crying out to God like never before. Do you know God loves you just how you are? But he loves you way too much to leave you that way. Someone said, we don't always change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. Come on, somebody. That's how it works sometimes. Do I have any control freaks in the house? You just say, Pastor Chris, that's me. I'm a control freak. When you're driving when you're in the passenger side, you try to tell everybody where to go. Anybody? Any wives would say, that's me. Husbands, don't raise your hand. Anybody, when you have the remote in your hand, you're watching what you want to watch. It doesn't matter. some hands. You're going to the restaurant you want to go to. You don't even ask. You might be a control freak. Listen, if you tried to raise your neighbor's hand, you are a control. There's no hope for you this morning. God can't even help you this morning. I'm just kidding. But I want to give you three ways to lose control. Three ways to surrender your life to God. And the first one is to surrender your fear. Surrender your fear to God. And you say, well, why fear? Fear breeds a desire to control. Fear breeds a desire to control things that we ultimately have no control over. When fear comes into our life, we want to try to control it. And so many people are plagued. Many people are gripped by fear today. Fear, look, what type of fears? Fears of rejection. When you have a fear of rejection, you want to keep people at arm's length. You don't want to be hurt by them. Fears of rejecting by people. Many people try to please everyone around them so they'll never be rejected again. A fear of failure. You're scared to take a risk. You're paralyzed by fear. One of the fears, and I was praying about this message, one of the fears I think is so prevalent today is a fear of the unknown. Because how many of you would say, we live in a different day? It just feels, come on, raise your hand, it feels like a different day out there today, doesn't it? And you could give examples. I thought of a few different examples. There's so much uncertainty out there, isn't there? It just feels different. When you watch the news and you see what's happening, it feels different than ever before to me. And so, remember several years ago how different traveling was? Remember how different it was flying on an airplane? And you could get, you know, years ago people used to dress up to fly on a plane, didn't they? You remember that? Yeah. My mom worked for an airline, so we flew a lot. People would dress up in their best clothes to get on an airplane. Do you know there's ashtrays in planes? Have you ever seen those? People used to smoke on planes. Can you believe that? People would smoke on airplanes. And we've gone from dressing up and smoking, some people, to taking your belt off, your shoes off. You can't even bring toothpaste on the plane. Look at how things have changed. Some joker had a bomb in his underwear a few months ago? Look how things have changed. There's a fear of the unknown, these times that we're living in. I remember when I was a kid, I used to take off on my bike. The only thing I had to do was be back by dark. Anybody else? That's how you were. You could just go outside, do whatever you want. I should go around the whole city. I'd go to another city on my bike. As long as I got back by dark, my parents didn't care. You know, today, I'm not letting my kids go outside for a second unless I'm out there. Can you see how things have changed? It's very much a lot of uncertainty, unknown. Remember, used to, you would just get a cold. You may have some flu symptoms. Now you're racing to the doctor to see if you have the swine flu. It's just a different day, isn't it? Uncertainty, fear of the unknown. Fear causes us to let the what ifs dominate our thinking. What ifs? Our mind loves to drift to the worst case scenario. And so it goes like this. What if something happens to my kids? And you watch these shows on TV and all these things you see, and you what if something happens to our kids? I don't know if I could even take it. What if I lose my job? I don't even know how to find a job. This is the only place I've ever worked. I'm not skilled to do anything else. What if I lose my job in this economy? And it just plagues you. What if this? What if I have no retirement when I'm old? How am I going to make it? What if I end up alone? What if I get sick? What if my wife gets sick? These what ifs, they start to dominate our thinking. And if we let the what ifs dominate us, we let them in our head, we're going to have what the Bible calls an anxious heart. An anxious heart weighs a man down, the scripture says. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Can anybody relate? Anybody relate? Say, that's me. I'm weighed down at times. You know, I believe that we have trouble sleeping. We have anxiety. We're weighed down. We have an anxious heart because these what-ifs are dominating us. And, you know, I even think this can become a stronghold in our life. A stronghold is a thinking pattern. It's an unhealthy thinking pattern in our lives, and it needs to be broken. And so we're plagued by fear. We're plagued by these what-ifs. And if you constantly feel weighed down, anxious, maybe you're trying to control things instead of giving them to God. Here's a scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, let's read it together. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That scripture says that there is a spirit of fear. Now, we don't know what all that means, and we can't read into it too much, but it says there's a spirit of fear. It's right there in the scripture. And so I believe that this spirit can influence our thinking. It can give us thoughts. It can cause our minds to be full of fear, anxiety, make us worry, make us weighed down with the cares of the world. So how do we surrender our fears to God? Let me give you two simple ways. The first way is to take our minds off the what-ifs of fear, the what-ifs of fear, and put them on the promises of God. You take every thought captive. When you start feeling your mind do this, then you just think of the promises of God. And so it's like this, God, I thank you that you're never going to leave me nor forsake me. I'm not concerned about the what-ifs. I thank you that you promise you're never going to leave me nor forsake me. God, I thank you that you give me the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you that greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you, God, that you have good plans for me, plans of peace and not of evil to give me a hope and a future. I thank you that I am more than conquerors through him who loves me. And listen, you get these, come on, let's put our hands together for the promises of God. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. If any man need wisdom, let him ask, and it'll be given to him liberally and without reproach. And you are on the offensive now. You're on the offensive. You're not on the defensive letting this spirit of fear dictate your mind, the what ifs. But now you're on the offensive. Your mind is meditating and focused on the promises of God. A second way to surrender our fear is to receive and walk in the love of God. And what I mean by this is the closer you are to God, the less you will fear. The scripture says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so when we seek the Lord, when we saturate our lives with his presence and his word and worship, Friends that are godly are influencing us. Listen, we're drawing close to God. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Let me ask you this. Who offers perfect love? God. Jesus said this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So you've got to receive God's love, and you've got to abide in it. You've got to walk in it. And the closer you are to God, the less fear is going to be in your life. Did you know God commands us not to fear? He commands us not to fear in the Bible. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let me tell you something. You get that down in your spirit. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You get that down on your spirit, and you're not going to fear. That stronghold is going to be broken in your life. Amen. Amen. So the first way to lose control is to do what? Surrender our fears to God. Focus on His promises. Abide in His love. A second way is to pray and obey what God, obey God no matter what. Pray and obey God no matter what. Praying, that's how we get the mind of God. Instead of letting our minds go every which way. Praying is how we cast our cares on God. Praying is how we align ourselves in obedience to God's word. And so this is what I encourage you to do. When you feel overwhelmed, I encourage you, you just take a second. Make space for God. Take some time and just be open with Him. Just be authentic with Him and say this, God, I'm worried about the future. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm so concerned about my retirement. I'm concerned about my job. I'm afraid. I just feel alone, and I need your presence. I need you to fill me with faith. And you just start to be honest with God. I found when you're authentic, when you're honest with Him, He'll come in supernaturally, and He'll fill you with peace. You don't have to play games with God. You don't even have to quote 7 scriptures to Him. You just be honest with Him. Just say, God, I need you. I'm full of fear. I'm worried. I'm concerned about this. I need your strength in my life. And so we commit to Him to pray, and we commit to obey. Someone said, don't try to understand God until you've obeyed Him. And I found that to be true. When we obey, we say, listen, we're going to do it your way and not my way. We're not going to cave in when the pressure hits. We're going to keep forgiving. We're going to keep being generous. We're going to keep taking the high road. And we're going to obey your word even if we don't understand it. Amen. Right after Christmas, my family and I, we made a road trip up to Louisiana. It's about a 14-hour drive. Come on, don't you love road trips? And so we get, you know, to me, it's like a race. I mean, I'm timing, anybody else, any other guys, I'm timing everything. Okay, so we get about an hour and a half outside of Jacksonville to a town called Live Oak. My little daughter, her name's Maggie, she's 6, so guess what she says? I'm hungry, you know, so I said, all right, we'll stop at Wendy's, but you have X amount of minutes to get in there, let's get out, it's just time to go. I'm dead serious, I was like, we're going to get in and out, we've only been going an hour, get in and out, okay? So she goes in, the place is, you can imagine, the place is packed, they both have to use the bathroom, so I'm out back in the car, I'm like, come on, let's go. So we all get back in the car. We got Christmas presents in there. All of our luggage. So we're sitting in there. We go to start the car. Guess what happens? Click. It doesn't start. Okay, so Ash and I are like, what are we going to do now? I mean, it's Sunday afternoon. Everything's closed, and we are in Live Oak. Okay? And so we're sitting there, and we're kind of freaking out. So Maggie, the first thing she says, are we going to die? I said, so Ashley and I just started laughing. I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, let me figure this thing out. So CJ, he's 9, he says, why don't we just pray? Ashley and I are like, at least somebody's spiritual in our car. Yeah, you know? So we set up a prayer. We got somebody to try to jump it. It didn't work. So we don't know what to do now. So there was a Holiday Inn Express across the freeway. So our whole family, we start walking across the four-lane interstate. We have all of our stuff. My little kids have their little bags, Christmas presents. We're crossing the interstate to the Holiday Inn Express, and we check in, okay? And we're bored to death now. It's Sunday afternoon. We were all excited to go on our trip. Now we're bored, so we see a Walmart across the street. So I said, let's go to Walmart, okay? So it's dark outside. So our whole family, we're walking to Walmart. It's cold. It's dark. So Maggie, are we homeless? So we get to Walmart, okay? And let me tell you this. You haven't lived until you've been to Walmart in Live Oak, Florida. So we get in there and we go into the toy section. My kids are having a hula hoop contest. Okay, Maggie's doing good. And this, it was near the tire section. So I was just sitting over on the side just waiting. And so there was a mechanic. He comes in there. My kids are hula hooping. And he goes, I think Mama ought to try that hula hoop. As we said, I don't think so. So I said, let's get out of here. You never know what's going to happen at Walmart in Live Oak. And so it's entertaining. And so, you know, I had a controlled plan to get to Louisiana, and it didn't work. But it all worked out. We ended up getting a rental car that was nicer than our car. It was fit all our family in there, a van. You know, there was a mechanic right there that got our car fixed up for us. There was a hotel across the street. We had fun. It all worked out. Did you know I'm thankful we have a God who's in control? Amen. And the last way to lose control to God is to trust God for the outcome and don't take it back. Trust God for the outcome and don't take it back. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. But the thing is, we don't keep our minds stayed upon God. And when we take our minds off God, we try to take control. We try to take control back. Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord, come on, you know it, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What happens when we start to lean on our own understanding? We're trying to control it. We're trying to make it happen in our own strength, in our own reasoning. I remember a few years ago, we sold a home. Okay, it was right before the economy got really bad. And we started to sell a home, and I met with a realtor, and we were sitting around our kitchen table. Okay, and so we determined the price, and this is a friend of mine. He's a believer. So he said, why don't we say a prayer? So we laid hands. We put our hands on the contract. We said a prayer. We committed this to God. I said, God, send a buyer. Have favor on us. We're trusting in you. So we get an offer. It wasn't really what we needed. But I said, you know, let's go ahead and take it. The market was going south bad. We needed to sell the house. So we took it. So do you know the next day, the next week, do you know what I'm thinking? Man, I should have waited. Man, I should have kept that house. We should have leased it. You don't know, we could have got what we wanted. Now I'm trying to pay this difference off. But you know what? I finally came to the place and I said, we trusted, we said a prayer, we committed this to God, we prayed over it. I'm not going to take it back. This is what I asked myself, is God in control or not? And I want to ask you this morning, is God in control of your life or not? Trust him and don't take it back. You know, many of us, we know the Lord as our Savior. We know the salvation of the Lord. Some of us know him as our healer, our provider. But let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know El Elyon, the God Most High? You know what that means? The God who is in control. And I know there's people here this morning, and you've been like I have in the past. You've simply forgotten that God is in control. I remember there's times where I've gone through a crisis. And you know what I found out? Listen to this. There's a difference between saying God is in control and believing God is in control. Amen? El Elyon, the God Most High, the God who is in control. So why don't we bow our heads and pray?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.